Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Welcome to Stone Cold Stros. I'm Brandon Strange with Charlie Polillo and Josh Jordan. They are at Polillo and at JoshJordan975 on X. And in between our episodes here, you can read their blogs on sportsmap.com. On today's episode, it wasn't easy, but the Astros scratch out a winning road trip. What's in their rear view isn't nearly as interesting as what's ahead of them. We'll talk about both. And is it time to give credit to the hitting coach truthers? But before all of that, quick programming note, the three of us will be live for our Thursday episode following the conclusion of the Philly series. We're planning on sometime around 5 p.m., so we hope you join us for that. Charlie, Josh, welcome in. It was a wild trip for the Astros. They get walked off twice in Sacramento, flirted with it in the Angels finale. Houston averages almost 6 runs a game across those 7 games. Doobie racked up a season's worth of homers on a single roadie. A spot arrest Diaz and Paredes outside of that pitch hit appearance on the getaway day and still hang a snowman on the Angels. Most importantly, though, they keep that 5-game lead in the division. Charlie, we'll start with you. What were your takeaways from the road trip?
I think essentially Sunday's game boiled down to the pass-fail course. Win the game, winning trip. Lose the game, losing trip. Well, they won the game, so they pass. I'm not going to say with flying colors at 4-3. The Athletics are terrible, only get a split there. The Angels have been spunky. They're within at least a cab's distance of 500, so taking 2 out of 3 there. Solid. Hunter Brown continues to excel. Fromber continues to excel. They are the two most essential components of these 2025 Astros. And you mentioned any week that goes off the calendar where the Astros lead maintains, it's a good week. As the Mariners go win 2 out of 3 at Wrigley, that's more impressive than winning 2 out of 3 at Anaheim. But the net is the Astros have the same lead they went into that series with. And you mentioned Dubon channeling absolute peak Jose Altuve or Jeff Bagwell for the week, 4 home runs over the course of the trip. Josh Hader, a couple of shaky outings, the loss on that bomb by Nick Kurtz, and then holding on against the Angels Sunday. Well, it kind of entitled to a down week after having been basically flawless, certainly so in save situations. So 44 and 33 plus one more win, right? 44 and 33 is winning 4 out of every 7 games. So the winning percentage now at .575, which is on the borderline of 93-94. The Astros maintain that they're going to win the American League West. Lather, rinse, repeat.
Yeah, they were able to take that series against the Angels. Had some struggles there from Brandon Walter and Ryan Gusto, but managed to win Gusto's start. Hey, when you're winning with some of your way down the line starters, you're doing something right. And obviously, the bats had to show up to help Gusto on Sunday. My other takeaway, too, Bryce Matthews really heating up in AAA. It makes you wonder if Dubon's kind of noticing like, I better kick it into high gear here, or they might try and bring him up to replace me. So good to see Dubon get going. And Charlie hit on it with Hader. He's allowed a run in 3 out of his last 6 appearances. All 3 of them were home runs. He almost gave up a 4th home run that hit off the wall in Sunday's finale. So he's been spectacular. So it's hard to say much negative about Hader, but it is out of character for what he's been doing this season. It seems like he's just been a little off and prone to the long ball, which was a big issue for him last season.
You mentioned Dubon. I'm going to say Brendan Rodgers could be from oblique injury to oblivion in Astros history. If you choose to promote Bryce Matthews, his strikeout issues aside, there's thunder in the bat that Rodgers has. Now, defensively, he's not what Rodgers is, not what Dubon is, might be what Altuve is. A couple of games we saw at second base in this trip helping explain for those who were reluctant to accept why Altuve was moved to left field. And let's throw in Jeremy Pena, just continues to maul. You know, there are going to be a little air pockets even over a hot streak, but Astros at 14-6 in June for the month. Jeremy Pena at 382, stampeding toward a first American League All-Star roster spot. I don't care what sort of depth there is at short. Payne is going to make that roster, or has to make that roster.
Yeah. Also, shout out to Jake Myers, who extends his hit streak to 10. The road has been a challenge this season for them, so however they get it done is good enough. We are finally starting to see cracks in that thin rotation. Astros now, they get the day off Monday ahead of hosting the second place Phillies Tuesday, then the first place Cubs starting Friday, then they travel to the last place Rockies and first place Dodgers as they creep ever closer to what's probably a much needed all-star break for this team. But considering how many players they're down right now, what can we really learn from this uptick in competition they're about to face during the stretch of the schedule? And how likely is it, do you think, that Houston can maintain the cushion that they currently have in the West?
Well, in the end, it's still just 2 weeks of the schedule midway in the season. But it's fun, and let's go there. Leaving the trash bin Rockies to the side, the other three series between now and through July 4th weekend, any of them could be a World Series preview. Right, the Phillies are bona fide contenders, the Cubs are bona fide contenders, and the reigning champion Dodgers are obviously bona fide contenders, and the Astros are firmly in the mix in the American League, still a handful of games behind the Tigers, but jockeying with the Yankees for the second best record in the American League. And, you know, the Mariners are on the road this week, four at Minnesota, and then they play the Rangers. So the Astros have a good series with the Cubs. They know they're making up ground on either Seattle or Texas, or gaining more ground over the Mariners or Rangers anytime they win a game. Well, while the Mariners and Rangers are playing, automatically one of them has to lose. So, yeah, you alluded to the back half of the rotation fraying. But I go back to, other than Seattle, who goes five deep with quality starters? So you're just going to have to grind your way along when it's a Gusto and a Walter, a Colton Gordon. But let me throw a kind of geek stat in. The Astros, 15-7 now in one-run games, which is best in the league. After last year, they were just inept in one-run games the first half of the season. In games in which the Astros have scored four or more runs heading into the Philly series, they are 30-7. That's spectacular. Of course, you score 8, 11, 13 runs. You're going to win most of those games. But 30-7, that includes games you score 4 or 5 runs. But I think the more impressive number, intuitively, it might not sound like it, but when the Astros score 3 or fewer runs, they've won 15 such games this season. They're 15-26. They've still scored 3 or fewer runs in more than half their games, or at least they're closing the gap on that. But 15-26, well, that's terrible. You play 15-26 ball the whole season, you lose 101 games. Yeah, but most teams lose a lot worse percentage of their games than two-thirds of them. If they're only scoring 3-2-1, or obviously being shut out, just one frame of reference, the Seattle Mariners, they're 7-26 when scoring 3 or fewer runs. That's winning just 21% of those games. The Astros have won about 36% of the games where they've scored 3 or fewer, and that speaks to the pitching staff carrying the team to this point in the season.
For me, I'm going to be looking at the bats. Can they maintain this hot streak that seems like they've turned a corner? We've been saying, can they be a top 10 type offense? Over the last 30 days, they're 7th in OPS, 5th in runs, 3rd in batting average, even 7th in homers. That's been one of the ones where they haven't hit a lot of home runs this year, but over the last 30 days, that has changed. So can these guys, I don't know if they're going to maintain it. Pena's OPS over the last 30 days is over 1,000. My Lord, he's been incredible. But Altuve's is over 900. So they've been terrific. But the big one that we've been talking about all year, Christian Walker, is he going to get it together? Over the last 30 days, he's hitting 260, OPS 762 with 5 home runs. So maybe that terrible start to the season is making his total numbers still look pretty pathetic. And he still has some of those at bats where you're just like, God, what are you swinging at? Did you decide you were going to swing at that before he threw it? It looks like it, but it's about where he's at, a 250, 260 hitter. That's where he is right now. OPS creeping up towards 800. So that would be huge for the Astros if they could get him going. You notice it moved him down to 5th, then moved him down to 6th in some games. So Espada doesn't have a problem putting Cam Smith in front of him because, well, Cam's been the better player lately. So I like what Espada's doing there. But that would just be so awesome if Walker has turned the corner and then you get Yordan back. Man, look out.
Well, you mentioned Jordan. That's the presumptive big addition. Dana Brown confirming kind of the obvious. Yeah, we'd really like to add a left-handed hitter. Do the Astros have the capital to make an offer that would win if the Orioles say, okay, Ryan O'Hearn to the highest bidder, to throw one more name, the Marlins have a left-handed hitting outfielder named Kyle Stowers, who they acquired out of the Orioles organization. Dana Brown would need to be in on those, but you have to have the goods to be able to make the offer to win the trade. Let's not read into it that, well, Dana Brown's acknowledging, if not desperation, at least a clear desire to add a left-handed bat because, uh-oh, are we waiting for Godot on Jordan's return? Right, he's still not evidently close. To me, at this point, if Jordan is healthy and good to go out of the All-Star break, I'll take it.
Yes, ditto. Just a quick message. If you're interested in advertising your service or product on this show, you can contact our friends on the sales team at houston.sportsmap.com/advertise. The link is in the description. On that note, we got an interesting update on the guys making their way back from TJ surgery. Apparently, Christian Javier has leapfrogged Luis Garcia in his recovery, which is crazy considering it's been 2 years since Garcia had his surgery. Do you guys hold out hope that either of those guys can make contributions to this team by the end of the season?
Hope. I place zero expectation on it. Javier, obviously the better bet at this point. The rumble is maybe sometime in August. But then there's the qualitative issue. Remember, Christian Javier was not a good pitcher in 2023. 2022, he was the stuff of legend down the stretch, culminating with the World Series no-hitter start. But his ERA was 4.53 in 2023, and then his arm fell off early last season, right? And Javier's a guy who can have command and long ball issues so that, oh, as soon as he's healthy, well, the Astros have their rock solid number three behind Hunter Brown and Framber Valdez. So I just hope, they just hope to be able to cobble it together and that they get one good answer in terms of who's the best bet for it. You know, McCullough spraining a foot in the weight room. Could it be him? Could it be Javier? Could Gordon or Gusto develop some in the second half? I don't think either has the stuff of Spencer Arrighetti, who came on like gangbusters in the second. Ah, Spencer Arrighetti, another one. If it's somewhere after the All-Star break and then he stays healthy the last 2 months, I think he's the most gifted combined with a possibility, if not probability, of being a real positive contributor over Javier for 2025 for me.
It makes me kind of worry with Javier. Like, are you guys rushing him back a little bit here? I mean, it's only been like a year, basically. And the encouraging part is they said he's hitting 95 on the gun, yeah. Whereas, you know, you guys have watched a lot of Javier. He kind of lower to mid 90s is kind of where he sat the last few years. So if he's already hitting 95, you wonder if maybe there's a ceiling to where he could be a guy that lives into the mid to high 90s. Is that possible for him? I don't know, but it's encouraging. But I do worry a little bit that he's leapfrogged Luis Garcia, and you don't want to push him because they already paid Christian Javier. So you want to make sure that he's ready and take your time with that. And we've seen the Astros with Hayden Wesneski, and they've botched a lot of this injury stuff. Jordan recently. So I hope that they're being a little more careful, doing lots of imaging, checking everything twice on Christian Javier. And then JP France, we throw in there too. He's coming not off TJ, but off the shoulder surgery. He's already thrown two or three live BP. So he could be the one that's ready the soonest. And I know he's not a pitcher that everybody's super excited about. Like, he's a top of the rotation guy, like Javier has shown he can be at times. But he is a guy that, with the Astros scouting department, when his fastball command is good, he could be your fourth or fifth starter. He's shown that before in the past. I don't think his ceiling is much higher than that, but that could be something that the Astros, they may need, because guys keep going down left and right this season.
And getting either of those guys back, referring to Garcia or Javier, can come back and be effective. I think it changes the complexion of the team. We said this before with Verlander in the past, but the glass half full perspective on a guy like Arrighetti is he's avoiding these extra innings right now. So he would theoretically be a fresher arm when he returns for the back half of the season. I do want to switch gears here because episode before last, we noted how for all the noise, it was time to give Joe Espada his due at manager. Well, part of what has allowed Houston to be where they are right now has been the significant uptick in offensive production from guys like Jeremy Pena and Jake Myers, as we have noted ad nauseum. Even Dubon, as we talked about, he has an OPS above 700 right now. I've seen some chatter on social media in our comment section about how it's time to give credit to the much maligned Astros hitting coaches. So how about it? Were we wrong about Alex Cintron and Troy Snicker?
Well, wrong meaning what? I mean, that they were the village idiot hitting coaches. I don't think that was ever the supposition. I still don't think there's any meaningful evidence that they're gurus of hitting and the Astros have these special hitting coaches. I just think there are very few of them. And so are they brilliant this year with Jake Myers, but they've been morons with Jake Myers the last 2 years? That Yiner Diaz has relapsed to looking like a seven-year-old swinging at a pinata at a birthday party? Are they doing a lousy job now with him? But when Mauricio Dubon hits four home runs over six games, wow, they're doing crackerjack work with Mauricio Dubon. No, I think it's about the individual players. So, you know, it's natural to look for someone when things aren't go well to hoist on the petard. Conversely, when it's going well, to throw them their bouquets. I am more Switzerland on Snitker and Cintron neutral. I don't think they sink the ship when it's taking on water. I don't think they haul it from the bottom of the ocean when the hitting's surging.
Yeah, I'm with Charlie on that as well. And when we look at the guys that have improved, MLB Network did a really cool breakdown the other day of Jeremy Pena and just showed all the footage of what his stance looked like last year and what it looks like this year and how he's opened up his stance a lot more and he's able to get into those high velocity fastballs inside a lot more often. He's crushing velocity this year, especially inside, and he's changed the way he does everything. He corrected it. So do you credit Pena for that? Do you credit the hitting coaches? That's part of the deal with this stuff is it's hard to know like what's going on behind the scenes. So you just kind of have to look at the results. And early in the year, the offense was really poor for the Astros. So you're going to be critical of that. And now that they're playing better, yeah, you give them their flowers and say, yeah, they're doing a good job. Keep it up.
For a team that is number 17 in MLB and runs scored at 4.22, I think it's a weird time to try to dunk on skeptics of the hitting coaches. We talk about it every week. It's the pitching and defense that has carried Houston this season. Charlie, you noted Yiner Diaz has taken a significant step back to this point in his offense, although he could still certainly turn it around, as could Walker, who the hitting coaches thus far have been unable to really course correct meaningfully to have him put large stretches together. I don't blame them for that. I think it's the big picture, and we've beat this into the ground. But pitchers come to Houston and typically get better. Hitters, not so much. So I think it's that big picture view that we have to keep in mind. But if the hitting coaches helped Pena to fix his stance and that's led to the results here, then great. That's their job. If they helped Jake Myers find this outburst of productivity and consistency, great. That's their job. So if they're doing their job, great. But like I said, in the aggregate, it just, you know, Houston doesn't have a reputation of being able to develop great hitters here. Pitchers, on the other hand, their reputation precedes them. I know I said it last episode, but you know, we want to celebrate the wins and enjoy the season. I didn't say let's trip balls and detach from reality. Charlie, Josh, final thoughts before we're out the door.
Kevin Durant trade, fantastic for the Rockets. I know there's not unanimity on this. It's a great, bold trade. Okay, back on course. Philly series, fun. They're really good. The Astros have Fromber going in the opener. Hunter Brown in the matinee finale Thursday with Colt Gordon in between. The Phillies bring star power. They bring a potent lineup. As I said earlier, stranger things have happened than seeing an Astros-Phillies World Series for the second time in 4 years, followed by Kyle Tucker's return with the Cubs. So a measuring stick week. If the Astros stumble and go 2-4, it won't prove conclusively, oh, see, get them in there against good teams and they're no good. Just as if they go 4-2 or better, that, oh, they're the best team in baseball. But it's a good, challenging, fun week of ball. And here's a week where I won't complain at all about the roof being closed.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah, I'm excited about Kyle Tucker coming back, man. I'd like to see Paredes and Cam Smith just go off in that series. I think that'd be really fun to just, you wonder if there's a little bit of extra motivation there for, you know, guys like Cam Smith that, hey, you want to bring me in? You traded me? Okay, Cubs, I'll show you what I can do. And I'm sure Kyle Tucker, you got to imagine they'll give him some kind of great video package right at the stadium with him returning. So I think that'll be interesting. And I'm kind of curious to see how the fans, you know, react when Kyle Tucker is introduced.
Yeah. I'll present him with a framed MRI of the broken leg.
Charlie, since you brought up Durant, I will say this. I didn't think I'd be more sad to see Dylan Brooks go than I was to see Jalen Green to be dealt. But here we are. And I'm looking forward to the Phillies and Cubs series. I know Houston's undermanned, but I think it would speak even more volumes if they would be able to take one or both of those series with such a thin roster. One last reminder, if you're watching on YouTube, be sure to click like on the video. And if you listen on podcast apps like Apple or Spotify, give us a 5-star rating while you're here. Like we said in the open, next episode will be live Thursday around 5 p.m. So make sure you subscribe to the channel. We also drop emergency episodes as news breaks. So make sure your notifications are on. For Charlie and Josh, I'm Brandon saying so long. Thanks for listening. Good night and have a pleasant tomorrow. And as always, go Stros.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.